better off.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 183 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-hosts, Linda Sarovich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Maggie Wiggin. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
So, as per usual with our off-season pattern where we reduce shows to every other week instead of every week, we say to ourselves, it's the off-season. Not much can happen, right? And then everything
happens. They almost got enough for us to have to record during our off week. We were on the brink there of having to be like, God damn it, we need
a conversation was had.
really close.
But the boys are back on their bullshit.
We needed the week though, because you know, we were coming down off Dollars for Dingers. We needed the week. But a lot has unfolded since we last recorded. When we last recorded, Buck Showalter had just been fired. Obviously, David Stearns had his introductory press conference. So, you know, we thought kind of, you know, eventually at some point in the offseason, they'll hire a new manager and that'll be that. They'll make some signings. But
it did feel like we were entering an era of stability.
Yeah, it did kind of feel like we were done with chaos for a little while. Ron Howard voiceover, we were not done with chaos. Almost immediately after we recorded last week or two,
it was real fast.
It was like a day later. Billy Epler unexpectedly resigned as general manager. And we had a day of limbo where he had just resigned and it was not expected at all. And the line that he had given everyone was, well, I want David Stearns to be able to pick his own GM, which
certainly makes sense.
Yeah.
Or not so much that he wants David Stearns, but like you want to work for who you want to work for and he doesn't want to work for him. Like it seems, you know, but for sure they had to go and then make it Mets.
Yep. So it was kind of like, oh, I guess that's not that surprising, even though the news was unexpected. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. David Stearns wants to hire his own guy, yada, yada. And then I think it was less than 24 hours later, we learned that the Mets were being investigated for improper use of the injured list, which, yeah, like, lol Mets, no matter how much money Steve Cohen has, lol Mets will never die.
But I want to know is how bad was it?
We don't know.
That because every team does this, right?
Yes.
So what did Billy Epler do that was so egregious that other teams?
Also, I mean, this is a side effect of it having been 2 weeks and my brain doesn't work like that anymore. But like, there was also buzz that there was something more, or like, you know, they were zeroing in on the Mets. Were like, I don't even remember. Like, God, it was drama reasons. And that just sort of like dissipated. Like, MLB was like, no, we're not. And that was the end of it.
It was,
I bet it's not like, the end of it.
It was heavily implied in reporting. And I'm trying to remember who reported this. It was one of the, like, it wasn't one of the national guys. It was like maybe Puma of the Post. Puma of the Post has been getting a lot of reporting lately. He is the guy who reported about the Dan Vogelbach drama with Buck Showalter and the Mets front office disagreeing about Dan Vogelbach's playing time and all that stuff like that. And yeah, it might have been Puma of the Post reported that there was something else going on, but it was very vague. Like it wasn't concrete. And the Mets still have not, or anyone really, have not come out and said that this probe into the Mets is the reason that Billy Epler resigned. They are still going with, we wanted David Stearns to pick his own guy. They are not saying that this is why he resigned, but it's hard to believe it's not why he resigned.
I was going to say, I don't think they commented at all on it.
They did not.
I think they just said, like, we wish him well or something.
Yes.
That has big ongoing investigation energy.
Yes.
Yes.
So, you know, the Mets have a really good string of general managers and ongoing investigations. and it continues now with a guy who's not even the GM anymore. But we're like, we don't know. We at this point, as we record this on Tuesday night, October 17th, we do not know the results of the MLB investigation as of yet. We do know, like, circling back to what Linda said about the Mets being investigated for something every team does. Yes, every team, pretty much every team, not every team, but almost every team does this to an extent.
Including the Mets, like, they definitely did do it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. They did it.
Yeah. There were quite a lot of back spasms this year. And
same.
Yes.
Like, you're 35, you have back spasms.
It's worth pointing out in the Mets case, and I have no idea that the thing that's unique about the Mets that we do at least know at this stage is that someone went to the league and complained is the report at this point. And it's
there
unclear
was initial
who.
Theorizing that it was Buck. Now
that
I
was Buck Showalter.
Get go, like it seemed unlikely that somebody who was hoping to work in baseball would like essentially publicly torpedo his GM on the way out. Like that just like there was nothing about that seemed like a Buck Showalter kind of move. So I was glad that dropped as well.
I mean, I don't know. Like I sincerely doubt it, but I also like he also kind of went scorched earth with the talking to Mike Puma about Dan Vogelbach. And I'm sorry, that was a source close to the Mets or something.
Yeah, right.
But that was very clearly Buck Showalter. And like, yeah, I mean, and it's already also been reported by, I believe, Mike Puma of the Post that Buck Showalter wants the Angels job. And if Buck Showalter went full scorched earth and we find out later that it was Buck Showalter that spoke about the Mets misusing the injured list, the Angels might be the only organization at this stage that would hire Buck Showalter, given that.
Imagine taking a job from the Angels.
Jeez. But it doesn't, like we mentioned on the last pod, Buck's been around baseball long enough to know how the game works.
Yes.
So it doesn't make sense that it would be. I can see it more coming from a player who might have gotten screwed out of service time or out of
money. I think
there
were also, someone said like it might have been a trainer.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Like,
who, like, I guess whistle blew on the Mets. Like, there's a trainer who clearly was treating fake injuries or not seeing players who were supposedly injured, I guess.
It was all very stupid and it was all very confusing and there was just so much of it so fast. I was not ready.
It is worth noting that in one particular case, and I am not saying that this player had anything to do with, you know, the Mets being investigated or he tattled or anything like that. But I will point out that in one particular case, which is the case of Tim LoCastro, it had a significantly negative effect on him. In the sense that the Mets clearly made up an injury for him initially to do roster manipulation like they had been doing. Like the Mets were clearly doing this. It's very clear. They did it with Tommy Hunter. They did it with Tim LoCastro. They did it with, I think, Jimmy Iacobonis as well. He had that like calf strain. This was very clearly roster manipulation. They made up an injury for Tim LoCastro, and then he actually injured himself like pretty badly in a fake rehab assignment. From his fake injury. So that cost him months.
Really months. Woo.
Yeah. So in that case, like that's a guy who legitimately has a gripe with what they did. So I'm not saying that he's the one who told. There's no evidence. There's no reporting linking him to that. But I am just saying that I don't know. Maybe the reason they're being investigated, other than like they have it out for the Mets, is that like in at least in this one case there was a significant negative impact on a player's career, which is not good. Like the Mets should actually be held responsible for that, but this does happen all the time, and it is odd that the Mets in particular are being investigated and that the GM resigned over it, because usually in the rare cases where this is like teams are punished for this, they just kind of get a slap on the wrist and a fine, and we never really find out about it. But this is like being widely reported, and the GM has resigned. And so that, as we said earlier, kind of implies something potentially bigger, but we have no idea at this stage what it is. I hope Billy Epler didn't do anything heinous, but can't put it past any of these guys at this point.
I would love to say nothing could surprise me, but I have faith that something out there could surprise me.
See the entire archive of this podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's still the Mets. At the end of the day, anything is possible with this organization.
They find a way.
They find a way. The Mets find a way.
They do find a way. So, yeah, now in addition to having to find a new manager, the Mets are going to be hiring a general manager to work under David Stearns. We will find out who it is. There have already been like names floated around by people, but I don't think there's any substantial reporting at this point on this. It's just like guys who were, you know, on their radar previously when they've, because the Mets have made these searches recently many times.
I mean, imagine looking at like, oh, the Mets are interested in me for their GM position. I wonder who's had that role recently. And like looking at, oh, fucking Wikipedia or whatever. And it's like Spinal Tap drummers over there. Oh my God, they have so many. And they're just dropping like flies.
It's the defense against the dark arts position.
It really is. In theory, and like, I guess similar to the defense against the dark arts position, it should be like a desirable post that Steve Cohen owns the Mets, but it's cursed. So I don't know.
Come on down.
But I'm
generally manage our baseball team.
Yes.
I do kind of wonder if this is, you know, in a roundabout way for the best, because now Stearns does get that clean slate. He probably wouldn't have if Epler stayed.
I'm happy that Epler's moved on, but I do worry that because of whatever this is, that it's not going to be a clean slate. That it's going to be some bullshit that, like, now there's another thing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think if all this is some roster manipulation that they got caught for and they're gonna get a fine or whatever and that's the end of it, then I think that it low-key in the long term is probably good for the organization, because I don't think Billy Epler was very good at his job outside of, you know, tapping into the Japanese market and those things that he was particularly good at, but if it's anything beyond that and the Mets end up being punished in a more substantive way, then it hurts the organization in the long term. Cause they can like lose a draft pick and stuff over this potentially. If it's worse, then just,
you also have to make sure that David Stearns is the guy, because now it is all on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if he starts making the wrong decisions, then now you're pushing the organization even further back. Like, I think he's the right guy, and, you know, everything about him says he is, but now there's no continuity there now either.
And I feel like they've gotten caught before, like, waiting too long into the offseason to find a GM that has made it hard for them to be competitive in the market during kind of the hottest times for free agents and trades. And so, you know, I mean, obviously they have someone in David Stearns who can take on that role in an interim manner, but like, that's not what you want. That's not what he's there for. You want somebody who's like at the GM meetings, like talking with players and agents and like thinking about years and thinking about options. And then David Stearns being like, we need more optionable arms, except he wouldn't say that because he's not an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think that, if I recall, when Steve Cohen took over the Mets, it was already like November or something like that, I think. And so they were already pretty late in there.
I thought it was December. I thought it was.
It might have been even later. Yeah. Yeah. So
it was definitely one of those things that went on for a while, and you didn't totally believe it was ever actually going to happen because of everything ever.
Yeah.
Then right after that, then they had to fire Beltran right before spring training started. So it seems like just it's been turmoil.
It feels like that was a decade ago.
It's almost as bad to be a manager as it is to be a GM, but the Mets GM position truly is the one that is totally cursed. Like Zach Scott was a thing.
Oh, Jared Porter was a thing for months.
I mean,
then they had the three-headed GM for a while.
We did, and Brody.
Brody Van Wagenen. Brody Van Wagenen. Who...
The best of the bunch was Sandy Alderson, just like right before he aged into absolute sludge.
I was going to say Sandy Alderson, like phase one, not Sandy Alderson phases two and three.
Yes. Yeah.
Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, God. Too fast, too Alderson.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with all of that. Talking about David Stearns and whether we'll see if he makes the right decisions. One of those decisions will be regarding Pete Alonso, and there was some news on that front as well. Pete Alonso changed agents to Scott Boras, which caused everyone on Mets Twitter to have a goddamn meltdown.
A lot of agita.
Which
it was. Whew.
I don't think you guys need to have a meltdown over this. I'm just like, it's. Is it, does it make it slightly less likely that he stays a Met? Yeah, probably.
Probably.
But he is trying to get paid the most money. So yeah, this is not surprising at all. Brandon Nimmo, if you recall, did the exact same thing, and the Mets retained Brandon Nimmo. They did not
extend. And Brandon Nimmo also got like a reasonable salary that is also the kind of like upper general range of what most would pay for him, and that's exactly what Pete should get. He should get like a good solid big old check full of lots of money, but he's not going to be going around like stomping his feet asking for $300 million. That's not what he is, and that's not what, despite his reputation, that's not really what Boras does anyway.
All this indicates is that Pete Alonso is likely to not take a hometown discount. Brandon Nimmo ended up playing things out to free agency and then signing a deal with the Mets. So it seems like that might play out a similar way with Pete Alonso. So it probably decreases the chances that Alonso will get extended this offseason, though I don't think it's impossible. But it doesn't mean that he's not going to stay a Met. It just means that it might happen next offseason instead of this offseason.
And it'll just cost Steve Cohen more money. There's nothing that affects the fans at all.
The Mets are fully capable of offering Pete Alonso the most money. Period.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, I'm not worried about it. I'm just not. Like, if Pete Alonso isn't a Met anymore after next year, if he signs with another team, it's because the Mets didn't want him that bad, not because they couldn't offer him the most money.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, there is reason to be skeptical of a long-term deal of Pete Alonso. Sure, if you look at it from a baseball perspective, like, he's a right first baseman who, you know, could look like the bad, maybe like the ultra ultra bad Albert Pujols years when he's old, type of thing. He's a power hitter who, when he's slumping and like he looks really, really, really bad. But he's also the Mets franchise player and is homegrown, and there aren't.
And they're not paying a lot of players that far out. Like, that's the other thing is a lot of their biggest money right now is expiring like soon.
Yeah.
Like a year or two.
Francisco Lindor is essentially their only long, long-term commitment at this time. And Nimmo. Like, I would call Nimmo and Senga like medium term commitments. And yeah, and Lindor is the only like super long term commitment. That's really it. Yeah, that's really it. Which means they also have to fill a lot through free agency, as we've discussed previously.
Yeah, I mean, you have to figure that it's hard not seeing them adding, and I don't know what exactly this would look like, but a big salary in the offseason. Like, whether or not it's Ohtani, probably not, but you never know. But some kind of, it seems likely that they would give out some big money because they have some. Like, why not?
Yeah. The other bit of Mets news that sort of just like came out of nowhere, is it was all of a sudden just reported out of nowhere that Francisco Lindor had elbow surgery to remove a bone spur from his elbow. It was like,
surprise.
And it was like after the fact, it was like Francisco Lindor is recovering from surgery. It's like, oh, cool.
And then he had the entire season.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happened in spring training.
He had a 30-30 season with a bone spur.
You do know the Mets have turned a corner, though, because he didn't have to get it against team orders like Carlos Beltran had to get his surgery.
True.
So, like, congratulations to the Mets organization for
the bare minimum
human garbage.
Yeah. Oh, something just popped into my head when we were talking about Brody Van Wagenen, and I was like, oh yeah, he of let Zach Wheeler walk.
Oh. Two good half seasons. He turned two good half seasons into $118 million. Oh man, go to hell, Brody.
And now he's quickly becoming one of the best postseason pitchers like of all time.
Of all time. And I'm so happy for him. What a good dude.
Yeah.
Like, he had a tough road with the Mets, and he seemed to really handle it all really well. And God, disgusting. I'm so happy. I can't even get the words out. Like, I'm happy that he's doing well. It makes me feel so sick the whole thing.
Okay, so but not for them. Anybody but the Phillies.
Except for the Braves.
Like, yeah. Anybody but the two of them. Why?
God damn
Why?
It.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. That's what I hear when I make another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform that allows you to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. So sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/podcast23, all lowercase, and take your business to the next level today.
So ALCS and NLCS are underway. As we alluded to, the Phillies are in the NLCS against the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks, as we all suspected, are felony frauds who are incapable of doing their job of beating the Phillies. The Phillies did their job of vanquishing the Braves, and now I had to swallow like the bile in my throat to root for the Phillies. And now
if it comes down to the Astros again, so help me God. I cannot do another series rooting for the Astros.
I know. Instead, we're going to have to root for, if we aren't rooting for the Astros, we're going to have to root for the only goddamn team in baseball without a Pride Night that has a bunch of former Mets on it.
I do kind of want Jacob DeGrom to get a ring, though, even though it would be kind of a weird BS one. I like him.
But not like the first year after he leaves. It's not fair.
I mean, but think about, okay, so obviously there's the Diamondbacks by default. Like, fine, whatever, Diamondbacks. I don't know.
But then I feel like,
and at the bottom, obviously, like, Phillies, disgusting, unacceptable under any circumstances. And then, like, just above the Phillies, has got to be Astros because they're garbage.
And they've already won a bunch. Like, enough.
And I'm so but bored of them. Garbage. Like, no more Astros.
I'm so sick of the Astros. I'm so sick of the Astros.
And
I'm
so that sick. Does mean that, like, Rangers got a slot in at second best.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think
there's any other argument for it.
It's like, unfortunate.
It's a sad state of affairs.
Just from my perspective, I'm tired of logging onto Twitter and seeing Rangers and thinking about the hockey Rangers, and then I get confused.
I'm personally,
it's a very confusing time of year.
It is.
Thank God the Giants are in the playoffs. We could be here for days.
Yeah. I'm personally very tired of logging onto Twitter.com and seeing Ted Cruz's face. So
I'm just tired of logging onto Twitter.com.
It's like, true.
I can't do it, man. The number of times I just like pick it up and put it down immediately. Oh my God, a lot now. It's good.
Yeah.
Everything's just bad and awful.
But I will say I'm thankful for the Phillies because immediately after being useful and vanquishing the Braves, which we'll get to in a second, because there's a little bit we have to talk about with that series, because we have to talk about that.
I hate them so much.
The Phillies in their like clubhouse like celebration after they won the NLDS said, and there's language coming for those of you who are listening with young listeners, said, fuck the Braves, fuck whoever we play next, and always fuck the Mets. And so I'm glad that they reminded us like very quickly and immediately like why we hate them after they serve their purpose of eliminating the Braves.
I'm also a little bit flattered. Like,
yeah, we live rent-free in their heads. They just advanced to the NLCS for the second year in a row, and they're thinking about the Mets?
It's a little confusing. It's the closest feeling was when I was, like, when I was catcalled when I was 6 months pregnant and carrying a toddler. That is kind of the same level of, like, flattered confusedness of, like, what's happening here? Of, like, the Phillies sitting there being like, yeah, the Mets. Like, really?
You're thinking about us. Nice.
In your clubhouse? Okay.
Yeah. We're swimming around in your noggin, aren't we? That's great.
Huh. And also, weird, like, but okay.
What the hell did Rafael Ortega do to you?
Yeah, no, my favorite tweet about this was someone was like, this man's about to play in the NLCS and he's thinking about Dan Vogelbach and Danny Mendick.
Like, really? You're concerned about Rafael Ortega?
DJ Stewart was going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of my favorite tweet, I meant to shout out this tweet earlier, and this is about an earlier topic. My brain's all over the place today, but I must shout out this tweet. It's probably my favorite tweet in ages, but it was when Billy Epler, when we found out about the injured list manipulation and the investigation, my favorite tweet about it was from friend of the podcast and friend of, you know, Mason Avenue in general, Jeff Paternostro, who tweeted, imagine you're Tommy Hunter and you come home to piles of subpoenas, which is just perfect.
I feel like Tommy Hunter would take it in stride.
He really would.
He's the right guy for that.
He is, but I still feel bad for him.
Yeah, I know. For sure.
He doesn't deserve that.
Literally not paid enough for this. No. Literally not paid enough.
Anyway, if we're on the topic of legendary tweets, we have to talk about Maggie's legendary tweet.
Yes.
Oh. Thank you.
Maggie, maybe my favorite tweet you've ever made in your entire life.
I know, it's mine too.
You got a lot of love on Slack that you probably didn't see.
Oh, so good. But yeah, we do need to take a moment to discuss how the Braves are giant crybabies, which was encapsulated in Maggie's tweet, which was that the clitoris has over 10,000 nerve endings and it's not as sensitive, or it's almost as sensitive as Braves fans, which was just chef's kiss perfect.
They're just the softest little baby corns. Like, I don't know what is going on with them. They're just so like...
soft.
I don't understand.
The entire Phillies Braves series was just the Braves fans being so soft. First, they whined about the playoff format.
And it starts at the top, too, because the whole team. I don't know what. I feel like the Braves. I feel like Braves fans are always that way. And I almost wonder if the team feeds off of that. Like, that there's a constant sense of like entitlement and wrongedness and like just. Yeah, no, it's incredibly
people
unpleasant.
Get mad at us because we do racism and
to do the racism.
We should be allowed
to mean
to,
that it's racist, you guys. Prove
it's really us
racist.
Who are oppressed. It's really us who are oppressed. Oh, my favorite Braves fan tweet during this whole like week of shenanigans was that one woman who ended up having to go private because she tweeted that it's actually only racist when you mock the chop because the Braves fans are doing it with respect. And you all, when you mock it, are doing it with racism.
Look, this is why you're never going to get me off of Twitter. I swear to God, I will go down with this ship because holy God, you cannot read that anywhere else.
No, but I think
only my ever been written on Twitter.
My favorite tweet was when Blooper, for some reason, decided to pick a fight with Phillies fans. Like, first of all, why? Second of all, why?
Person above your weight class, bro.
Yes, Blooper, for real. Okay.
And so I saw last tweet.
Mascot right there.
I saw one tweet that called him the white flight fanatic.
I mean, he basically is.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I was like, that is the most perfect description of Blooper I've ever
Maybe
read.
That's why Braves fans are always pissy despite winning a gazillion games, is because they have an extremely second-rate mascot.
Yes.
Yes.
Embarrassing.
But the freeze is cool. I don't understand.
Oh, man.
But it seems like the whole organization is just whiny crybabies.
They really are.
The mascot, the fans, the players.
Oh, how God. Dare thee, sir.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So with the players, so there was the whining about the playoff format. And like every year there's playoff format discourse. And this year, of course, was no exception. And whenever the teams that win a lot of games in the regular season get bounced early, people start complaining about the playoff format. I said this last year when the 101 win Mets got eliminated in the wild card round. Like, I don't know, Mets. You should have simply played better in September and won the division, or you should have simply played better in that wild card series where you got your ass kicked. Like, them's the breaks. Yeah.
As much as it pains me to say, the Astros serve a purpose in this whole situation. Yes. In terms of disproving all of that nonsense. They always have the bye. Lead the division by a bazillion games every year. Like, the Astros show up whatever the hell day it is, and they just absolutely destroy whatever's in front of them.
No, it's the Braves and the Dodgers that are like, it's too much of a, like, layover. Well,
the Dodgers just keep banking on old pitching, which, you know, gets them through most of the season real good, but at some point, they are going to have to get a younger pitcher.
But where was everybody in the 90s when this was the Braves' entire existence?
Yeah. Like, I mean, the Braves remain salty that they won the division every year and they only won that one championship. Yeah. It's like, oh no, poor you.
This is what they do. This is kind of their thing.
But you know what?
I'd rather be them than us.
Okay. Yeah. No, and but also, you know what? No, I would rather be us, though, because we don't seem quite so miserable all the time. True. Us, we, with True. Our team. Somehow. We manage to seem to enjoy ourselves every once in a while, and so I guess we win.
Yeah, but true.
Nobody was crying over the 06 Mets, who were beaten by one of the worst teams to ever make the playoffs.
I cried a lot, but I wasn't too. Like, they should change that.
Like, they should not let wild cards in.
Mostly just cry.
Crying.
Like,
or the 0-1 Mariners, who were one of the greatest teams of all time. And then they got upset. This is what sport is. There's upsets. There's underdogs. Or what's the point of watching sports?
What's the point of having playoffs? Like, yeah. If you want to reward regular season success, just simply award the trophy to the team that has the best regular season record at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And don't have the playoffs then.
Also, I mean, I understand, and a lot of former players especially have been public and said, like, they do think that that kind of a layoff would affect them. And, like, maybe so. But you know what would also affect on that level is, I would think, walking around like you own the place for the whole season. And
yep.
Just generally, like, not having a particular laser focus on the series at all. And complaining about little things instead and playing sloppily. Like, it's not that they seemed overly rested, it's that they seemed like they just figured they didn't have to try.
Yeah the Braves talked such big shit during the whole regular season, and now they're crying like little babies.
They're right where we are. And also, on our butts on the couch.
Let's be real.
Praying for the Diamondbacks.
The Braves, were, the Braves were in a crappy division. Like, really, what adversity did they really face all season?
Yeah.
So, there's the first sign of adversity, they fell apart.
There's a tweet for everything. As much as we hate Twitter.com these days, there is a tweet for everything, which is why we're never logging off. And in this case, there is a tweet for the Atlanta Braves, which is a classic tweet of recent renown. I dated a 5'8" guy who taunt every jacked 6'3" bro he met until they pull up their until they pull their fist back to beat him up. Whereupon my ex would go, "Hey, hey, come on! I'm a little guy. I'm just a little guy. No, it's also my birthday. I'm a little birthday boy," and it somehow always worked. That's the Atlanta Braves. Oh. That's literally the Atlanta Braves. Like, they talk big shit all season. They have the best regular season record, blah, blah, blah. And then the second that anything goes wrong for them in the playoffs, it's like, "I'm just a little guy." That's what happened with the whole
went off. The sprinklers.
Yeah. The playoff format, the layover. And then it happened with Orlando Arcia, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, we barely even touched on.
Oh, we're touching on it now.
The sacred space.
We're touching on it now.
God, the sanctity of the men's locker room in a sports arena.
Oh, we're touching on it. So the other thing that happened was that that revealed the Braves to be baby Charmin soft. Is that Orlando Arcia like taunted, said attaboy Harper, like taunted Bryce Harper.
A taunt. Like, I'll actually have Arcia's back on this. Like, that's nothing. God, I see that about like my children. Like, it's not a taunt. That's like,
it's not a taunt.
It's the weakest taunt there could possibly be.
It's like bad trash talk.
Yeah.
This was after Harper got doubled up to end one of the playoff games after Michael Harris made like one of the best catches I've ever seen in center field. And then that's how the Braves won their one game in the DS against the Phillies. It was an exciting win for them. And he was reacting to that. And, you know, it was, you know, he said it and it was reported because he said it out loud in front of a bunch of reporters in the clubhouse. And then after it was reported, he did the "I'm just a little guy. Hey, hey, I'm just a little guy. Come on." Because immediately the Braves were waxing poetic about the sacred space that is the clubhouse, and the media shouldn't like report things that are
everything
said.
Everything should be off the record unless they say it's on the record, even though that is the opposite of
literally
what
not how journalism works.
No.
Yeah.
Like, that's what PR is. That's not journalism.
All this tells me is that the Braves need to educate their players better about media literacy. My favorite thing about this whole thing, Braves fans who were before Arcia basically admitted to saying it, Braves fans who were like, "There's no way he said that. He doesn't even speak English."
Yeah, that was like,
whoo. And I was like, that was quite the cell phone. Because then he was like, yeah, "I said it, but I didn't want him to hear it."
Well, and then you have Darno in your tears blaming the liberal media. Like, come on.
I made a tweet,
like somebody put the Braves team through AI to be like, come up with a really pathetic way for the Braves to end their series.
Yeah, they even like their the Braves season. Even transformed Travis d'Arnaud into a pathetic sack of a human being too.
Yeah.
Maybe he was always that. I don't know. But I don't recall him being such a baby when he played for the Mets.
Well, and what
it's all there. I mean, this is why I feel like it's a top-down thing. And that's why I feel like, I mean, I don't know what's going on in that clubhouse, but it really doesn't feel like there's much leadership. And like much focus on kind of the things that matter. Like, can you imagine Buck Showalter answering questions for like 3 straight days about Attaboy Harper? He wouldn't do it.
No.
Yeah.
He would shut it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Francisco Lindor would shut it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My shortstop would act with far more class than Orlando Arcia, who
and then we are talking about literally the Mets. Yes. This is not a high bar.
Yeah. Like the very high class New York Mets in comparison to this organization.
Arcia started making faces at the Phillies fans.
At the Phillies fans who were yelling at him. he started making faces back at them. Like, who freaking does that?
During
like,
that's an elimination game. Like, this is the most high pressure situation you find yourself in, and that's what you're worried about.
Literally, Ronald Acuña. Acuña had to put his arm around his shoulder and get him to stop doing it. Like, Ronald Acuña is the voice of reason in, like, being demonstrative right now.
He is exempt from my complaints about the Braves team.
No, because
he handled himself quite well this whole off.
No,
this whole
he avoided post. Questions after the game.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, the media complained about it.
Yeah. Which you face the music. I'm sorry, you sucked. You own up to it. Francisco Lindor was out there every damn day answering questions. And after the playoffs, too. So don't give me it was a tough situation. He was upset. Too damn bad. The whole Braves organization just needs to grow the fuck up.
Yeah, they really do. It's really kind of pathetic. Yeah.
And the worst thing I can't forgive him for is making me choose Bryce Harper in this situation.
Oh my God, I was pulling for the Phillies so hard, it just made me sick.
Yes, and my mom is from Philly, she's a big Phillies fan. She was just like, I don't care what happens, I just wanted them to take down those awful Braves.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I mean, at least you like the Phillies fan that you know in real life. The Phillies fan that I know in real life is kind of a jerk. And he's married to a friend of mine who is not at all a jerk.
Oh, and
that sucks.
So like,
my best
friend's a Phillies fan and I love her. So
see, that's nice to have to hold on to. I have family I love very much who are Dodgers fans. So I can always feel good about a Dodgers situation, but no, Phillies are rough, man.
Ugh, my whole family, my whole mom's side of the family is Phillies fans.
Rough.
And Eagles fans.
Ugh. while we're making fun of like pathetic organizations, we do have another entry in I Took the Form of a 45-year-old White Man for a Reason. I can only
never disappoint
this week.
Nope.
Never disappoints, our favorite segment. This week in that segment we have Mariners general manager Jerry DePoto, which, oh boy, he made some remarks, which is let me just read the remarks. This was in like the post game, basically, not post game, like post season presser, like basically our season is over debrief press conference, which almost every team has one of those. The Mets had one of those, which was the whole like Buck Showalter firing things. But anyway, in the Mariners one, Mariners did miss the playoffs, by the way, for those who didn't know that. They were in contention for most of the season and missed the playoffs. So he said, quote, our job is to think more broadly. We're looking at a 6 to 10 year window. When I talk about sustainability, I can tell you that you're going to win the World Series. I can't tell you that you're going to win the World Series. I can tell you that if we win 54% of our games over the course of a decade, you're going to play in the World Series. Teams that do those things get in the World Series. Now that is true in the wild card. That is true in the wild card era. It is true in the divisional format dating back to 1969. You've got, I think, an 85 or 90% chance of winning the World Series if you make that your goal. If we make winning the World Series your goal, we will do insane things that will cut sustainability, the sustainability part of the project short. That's not how
that's some Billy Epler bullshit right there.
I was just going to say the
classic,
same thing.
Like,
oh my God.
Remember when Epler was talking about how like, increasing our World Series odds by 2%.
1%.
This is the same
vibe, is the same like,
same
I
shit.
Had answer and used math to get there.
The worst.
Did they have like a Zoom meeting where they come up with the stuff? Like, worst, when you go
Sandy
out there.
Alderson is the grandfather of that too.
Yes.
Make no mistake.
The worst Moneyball process nerd shit imaginable. Now, listen, do most front offices probably think like this? And most executives? Yes. The answer is yes. But you don't
and
say that shit to the fans.
There are people who are paid to look to do that. Like, there are people paid to do that part of it. But like, and also if that's the only part of it, then there's a problem. Like,
you don't say that shit to the fans.
No.
Yeah.
You don't say your goal is to win 54% of your games over the course of 10 years. That's the dumbest thing. Also, like, You look at the teams that have been consistent playoff contenders over the course of the past, you know, like 4 or 5 years. Those teams have higher average winning percentages than 54%, than 540. Yeah. They're better than 540. I'll just tell you that much. Like, it's just.
And
gross.
I think somebody figured it out that, like, over their past 6 years, they haven't had a winning percentage. They've been under 500.
Yeah, they were under 540.
Yes.
So you're not even reaching that
low bar. I mean, come on.
Also, just like this whole like, but I mean, him saying that. It is indeed backed up by his actions, because the Mariners are constantly trading players to get different players that could potentially improve their sustainability 10 years from now, when like they were trading away players from a team that was in playoff contention. Like they're sacrificing shots at the playoffs right now because of their 10 year sustainability plan. Ugh.
And when does that 10 years start?
I'll give him this. It seems like you could sustain that. That seems really sustainable. That level.
Like, he's always thinking about,
like, yeah.
He's always thinking about 10 years from now. He's always thinking about 10 years from now. He's never thinking about now. And like, that's the problem, is that you're never going to be successful that way when you're always thinking about 10 years in the future and you never think about right now.
Yeah, like, when does the clock start ticking? When was your 10-year plan first implemented? Because right. It's not working.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a really awful quote to give. And like, even if you understand like kind of the reasoning behind what he's saying, that's not the type of stuff you just say in a press conference to fans who are like upset.
Yeah.
About like the fact that they missed the playoffs again. Like, you can't tell Mariners fans that they just need to be a little more patient. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you got to think about the 10-year plan. It's like the Mariners have never made the World Series. Like, what?
And yeah, they have been the longest playoff droughts, I think, that they ended last year. I think they were the longest playoff drought going.
Yeah, that whole franchise just is such a mess. And it's a shame, because it doesn't have to be.
No,
he did apologize, by the way, because people got so mad. I'm saying that, but yeah, I mean, and first of all, like, the real issue, if you want to get into like the math part and like the real pragmatic thing of what he's saying, the issue with it is that you can't actually shoot for 540. If, like, yes, if what he's saying is mathematically true, that if you have a 540 winning percentage on average over the course of 10 years, meaning some years you'll have a lot higher of a winning percentage than that and you might make the World Series, whatever. And some years you'll have a lower winning percentage than that, whatever. It all evens out. You can't actually shoot for 540. You have to shoot for higher. And then you'll probably like end up lower than what you shoot for. Because it's really hard to win a lot of baseball games, because baseball has a very large sample size. It's a very long season. You actually have to shoot for like 650, and then maybe you'll get 540 if you do that.
Yeah, like, it just seems like such a random statistic to just, oh, well, 540 is the number we landed on, but why?
Magic number.
It also reeks of, like, a data guy told it to him and explained the context, and he didn't totally pick up the nuance and just spat it back out.
Yep.
And the data guy is off to the side like, oh no, that's
oh,
not what
God.
I said.
That's not what I was actually saying.
Like, no, you totally misinterpreted it.
Yeah, it's just the type of thing that you, like, you talk about in a meeting in the front office, but you don't, like, say that in a press conference. Like, just don't say that stuff.
Too much inside baseball.
You can say that without saying it. I mean, it still wouldn't be great, but to say, oh, we're thinking about the 10-year sustainability plan, guys, sorry about missing the playoffs again. It's still not great, but you don't get that into the weeds when you're just talking to like the media in a press conference. Like, please stop.
But how do these guys not know? I mean, they're all the same dudes. They all get recycled team to team because that's just how baseball is. Like, how do you not know how to give platitudes at this point? You're in that job long enough. You're doing a pretty bad job at it because the Mariners have been bad for the past 10 years. And you had that's how you try to comfort angry fans?
I actually will say that the one of the best I've ever seen at saying things that don't really mean anything was actually Brody Van Wagenen.
Yes.
Well, he was the best used car salesman that ever
existed.
Yes,
that's what it was. Yes. He was
He just said platitudes all the time. Like, he said a lot of words that never meant anything.
And somehow, yeah, I mean, if the Wilpons had given him some money to back it up, we might have never caught on to Brody Van Wagenen.
Maybe not. I don't know. Oh, man.
But, I mean, and Buck Showalter with his, like, folksy sayings could also get away with it, I think, too.
Yep.
But
DePoto should take some notes from Buck Showalter and just say something folksy and move on.
Yeah. Or just, you know, like I said, just all for some BS. Like, we're very upset. We're just as upset you are as you are, the fans, that this season didn't work out. We had a plan. You know, we had to deviate the plan from the plan when things didn't come in place. But we're, you know, we're still on track for our 5-year plan. And we're hopeful that we're going to move the organization in the right direction. And then you end the press conference.
Yeah, it's not that hard. Make Linda a GM. Let's go. Oh, man.
Don't take the job, Linda. Horrible things will happen to you.
Yes.
Yeah, they'll probably hire a president of baseball operations over you, even if you're successful and make the playoffs with their shitty poverty franchise. Yeah.
And this thing.
So, we learned the other day that Kim Ng will not be returning as Marlins GM, which was somewhat surprising since the Marlins were not very good yet still made the playoffs somehow. The Marlins exercised her option, but it was a mutual option and she chose not to exercise the mutual option. And it turns out that we learned it's because the Marlins wanted to hire a president of baseball operations over her. So she basically got Billy Epler'd and she's too good for that. So she was like, nope, see ya.
Good for her. Good for her.
Yes. Yes. Good for her.
You don't take that shit.
A lot of people in the immediate aftermath of this, including me, by the way, for full transparency, were like, Mets, please hire her.
Me too.
I think it's probably unlikely given the fact that she left because she didn't want to be second in command to someone else. Totally understandable.
Yeah.
And at the Mets, if the Mets hired her, she would be second in command to someone else. So seems unlikely. I mean, the only reason why there's even some chance at all is because the Mets can probably offer her the most money, and also, like, she'll, unlike with the Marlins, she'll have resources to build the team she wants. So, but, you know, it seems unlikely. The Red Sox also have an opening at this time, having fired Chaim Bloom, but given, similar to the Mets, given the amount of turnover that the Red Sox have had with their GMs, it lessens the desirability of that position.
And also, I mean, she'd be walking into the same ship she walked in with the Marlins, like an owner doesn't want to spend.
And yeah. It's a little better. Like, at least the Red Sox spend sometimes, but yeah.
Yeah.
Like, please trade our franchise player. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Red Sox are at least a grown-up team.
The Marlins are extremely not serious.
No, they're probably called it too. They were total frauds.
They were total frauds.
Still total frauds. The whole organization.
Yes, indeed. I mean, they were also very injured going into the postseason.
But I don't care. Frauds.
Frauds.
Yeah, no, they are frauds.
But hopefully, Kim Ng lands on her feet somewhere else. God knows she deserves it.
I say someone who values her hard work.
And I could even see her, like, I think there's a difference between being in a role and having somebody come in and now be your boss and, like, also take over some of the things that you were doing. Like, I think there's a difference between that and coming into an organization, into a role that, like, you can work out with the team if you are inclined to go there. Like, I think there is a balance to finding that role that doesn't have, that's, you know, not the same thing as like, okay, now you have a mega boss and your role is smaller. Like, it's just a different, she has a lot more agency if she's coming into that position from the outside.
Yes. Yes. Instead, it's like with the Marlins, it's like, thank you for leading our poverty franchise to the playoffs. May we interest you in a demotion. I think we'll let a man take it from here.
Oh, God.
Thanks for everything, Kim.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
And to the people that were like, well, she was just like a token hire or whatever. She worked in the front office. She worked in MLB for how long? She was overqualified.
Yeah, I mean,
she's incredibly good at what she does.
Any man with her credentials would have gotten a GM position years and years ago.
Yes, yes.
Would probably be a PBO now.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah.
And she could be too, for that matter.
Yeah. There was some rumor that she was potentially interested in like a president role, like what Sandy Alderson was with the Mets, like not baseball ops, but like president of the organization. Yeah, there was some like rumor that she was interested in that potentially, which she could do that somewhere else. Yeah, but we'll see where she ends up. I'm sure someone will hire her.
I think I saw a rumor today that they were like, oh, the White Sox should hire her. Jerry Reinsdorf is never hiring her. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Also, please don't expose her to the White Sox.
No. Please don't go.
She's a precious commodity.
Yeah, no, no.
There's only one of her.
Please don't go from a...
We don't need her jaded.
Please don't go from that fraudulent joke of an organization to, like, an even worse fraudulent joke of an organization. Like... God.
And I want to like the White Sox. I don't want to like the Marlins, but I do want to like the White Sox.
Oh, yeah, me too.
They are not accommodating that desire on my part at all.
Me neither.
No, no. It's sad.
It is sad. So in other news, on a sort of similar front, the Giants, this is more positive, the Giants interviewed assistant coach Alyssa Nakin for their managerial role, which makes her, that we know of, the first woman to be interviewed to be
Yay. Awesome. I mean, talk about like runners up prizes, but like it's something.
It's still pretty cool.
It is.
And I mean, we don't know, obviously, they're in their worth noting that the Giants seem to be much further in their process than the Mets. But whatever. The Giants did pretty much interview like all of their on-field staff for the manager role, which includes Alyssa. But yeah, it's cool. It's just cool that she's being considered and that, you know, it seems like we're not far away from having a woman as a manager.
And also, she's been in that damn clubhouse for 10 years. She's qualified.
Yes, she's qualified.
You have to manage in the minors first. No, you do not.
You know who didn't manage in the minors first? Craig Counsell, the dude that you want managing the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to hear that shit. I do not want to hear that shit. The same dudes who were like, she's not qualified, didn't manage in the minor leagues, like, are like, we want Craig Counsell to manage the Mets. Craig Counsell didn't manage in the minor leagues?
Most of the managers didn't manage in the minors.
What could it possibly be is the difference? What could it be?
I wonder. This is a toughie.
By the way, Craig Counsell's contract, I think, officially expires like October 31st or something like that.
And November 1st, he will be walking into Citi Field.
So we won't hear anything on that front until then, if folks are wondering why the radio silence on that point. And that might be part of why the Mets are not as far in their search, at least that's been publicly reported. Because they're kind of waiting to see how the council situation plays out. I have no idea. That's just conjecture on my part. So the only other bit of MLB-wide news is something that that just broke today, which is a follow-up on something we talked about on the podcast last month, which is that the Supreme Court is hearing a case to remove Major League Baseball's antitrust exemption. We talked about that last month. There's some news on that front, which is that the MLB Players Association filed an amicus brief to the Supreme Court supporting the overturn of the antitrust exemption. For those of you who are not lawyers, which includes all of us, I do know at least a little bit because actually this is very well timed. I recently read a book about a particular Supreme Court case, which is not related to this one in any way. It's a completely different one that serves my nerdy genetics interests. It was actually for a work book club, but it was about the myriad genetics case that where they patented the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, which I think a lot of people are familiar with because of the Angelina Jolie thing and all of that. I read a whole book about that Supreme Court case. So I read about a lot of the amicus briefs that were filed in that case. And so I know a lot about like lawyering and amicus briefs right now. It's like swimming around in my noggin. So amicus briefs are just like briefs that folks can submit, organizations, lawyers can submit on behalf of certain organizations, either like on one side or the other of a certain case that the judges just read beforehand, just kind of like read as supporting evidence. And they consider these amicus briefs when they're making their decision. But sometimes they get brought up in arguments, but sometimes they don't. Usually they don't. But yeah, it's noteworthy that the Players Association is filing this amicus brief and comes down on the side of removing the antitrust exemption. I mean, it's not surprising that that this is the case, because obviously the one side of the case is minor league baseball teams. It's cool that the Big League Players Association is supporting the removal of the antitrust exemption.
At least things are moving in the right direction. It's
interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but at least stuff is happening.
Yeah. And in the brief, so Evan Drellich of The Athletic reported this, and he highlighted a particular snippet of the brief. He also tweeted the link to the full brief, which you can read. All the amicus briefs or all the Supreme Court cases are publicly available. You can read them. He tweeted out a particular section of it. That says, quote, "If the baseball exemption is allowed to continue, Major League Baseball and its clubs will undoubtedly seek to rely on it in further efforts to contract the number of minor league affiliates, with corresponding negative effects on players, communities, and baseball itself." So there's an implication that at least the Players Association believes, and there's no reason to think that it's without grounds that they believe this, that they believe that Major League Baseball will continue to contract the minor leagues if the antitrust exemption is not removed. So if the league wins this case, we may very well see even more cuts to minor league teams, which would be really unfortunate. So more on that as it develops, we will see. But we will end the show this week with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Maggie Wiggin, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Okay, I realize I'm repeating a walk-off win, but in my defense, I forgot about it until 3 minutes ago. But my walk-off win is Simone Biles again, apparently. Simone Biles. I mean, in this case, it was for the world before it was for the U.S. championship, so I guess it makes sense. But nevertheless, I remain incredibly impressed, not only with like everything Simone Biles does as a gymnast. Physically, it is incredible. If you haven't seen her gold medal beam routine, it's just like the most perfect beam routine anyone has ever done. She just doesn't move.
Have you seen that she started a new, she has a new move now? She has another Biles patented.
Oh, yes, on the vault.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Like, how?
Well, and, like, speaking of the vault, another thing, and obviously, like, all of that. Like, I admire her and adore her because she is so very, very talented, but also because under the biggest pressure that any of us has ever felt, she prioritized herself and her mental health before all of it. And so for that, I will forever admire her. But, you know, but mentioning the vault, I think, is a great opportunity to also point out that she regularly destroys the competition in that event, despite the fact that she gets a deduction every single time automatically because she has her coach come in to spot her. Not because she is, you know, less talented than everyone else, but because she recognizes a risk and wants to take care of herself and her body. And that is, you know, that is like the ultimate champion. That is the ultimate fighter. And we should all be a little more like Simone Biles.
Simone Biles rules. Oh my God.
She does. Oh, I love her so much.
She's so cool. Usually I go last and walk off wins, but I'm gonna exercise privilege and go next.
Go for it.
Because it's a good transition, because my walk off win also involves a female athlete. So over the weekend, it's kind of two walk off wins, I guess, but it was just like that one walk off win in the sense that I had a nice weekend. But on Sunday, I went to the Washington Spirit game with my friend Sarah. We had an awesome time. And the game itself went about as poorly as you can imagine.
Oh, no.
The Spirit lost. They missed the playoffs because they lost. And it was really sad because, you know, this was a team very similar to the 2023 Mets, in fact, that had very high expectations for it going into the season and missed the playoffs. And has subsequently fired their coach. So, you know, very similar. But it's more, the walk-off win is just more about this season and the first season of me being like really into the Spirit and just enjoying the hell out of attending games in person, and loving the way that the NWSL as a league is growing. They announced three new expansion teams this year that will be in the league next year. So it's just really cool. And the game that I attended yesterday set a new attendance record at Audi Field for the Spirit, and this was their first season playing in Audi Field, which is the same stadium that DC United, the men's team, plays in. Before that, they had been playing, I forget where, like in some really shitty second rate place. And so they're, you know, and they drew, you know, over 15,000 fans for the final game of the season, which is really impressive. And it's just been really cool to watch this league grow and to get to be a fan of this team, and like get to root for actually one of the teams in the city that I live in, since I definitely can't root for the baseball team here and I have no interest in doing so. It's been cool to get into the Spirit, and I have just really enjoyed attending their games. So yeah, support women's sports, folks. Support female athletes. Like, they're doing such great stuff, and I love watching them. And they have, the Spirit have five players from the U.S. women's national team on their team. So, you know, you want to watch these players that you watch on TV in the World Cup, you can watch them anytime you want. They play in the NWSL, and that includes players that are on World Cup teams for other countries. There are many, many other like players from other countries who play in the NWSL, because unlike in the men's game, the best players in women's soccer play in America. And so you have the chance to watch the best players in the world playing, you know. So it's cool. And I had a good time despite the fact that it was a heartbreaker. But it was cool that the other cool thing about the NWSL, in addition to just the fact that it's growing and it's exciting and it's drawing a lot of fan interest, is that the league has incredible parity. And so this year, going into the final game of the season, I think it was only like the top one or two teams that had clinched, and like maybe one team that was eliminated. everybody else had the chance to make the playoffs. Everybody else.
Oh, I love that.
And the seeding was not determined.
So much chaos.
There was like a 9-point spread between like 12 teams.
Oh my God.
It was wild. Or 10 teams, I think. It was wild. So like my favorite tweet about it, someone tweeted a video that was like a kind of a series of screenshots that they had taken of the standings, because when you like Google like NWSL standings or whatever, it updates live, like as the scores are happening, like as the games are progressing. So it's almost like if these scores stay as they are right now, here's what the standings will be, right? So they took a series of screenshots of how the standings changed throughout the day, the final day of the season, as all the teams were playing, and it shuffled like many, many times. Like it was like this team moved into sixth and this team moved down to eighth and then this team moved up to third, and it was like moving the whole day. It was crazy. It was so cool. And so to have a league with that much parity, it makes the season really, really exciting. I mean, unfortunately, the Spirit started the day, I think the top six teams make the playoffs and the top two teams get a bye in the first round. The Spirit started the day in, I think, fifth position and ended the day in eighth position.
Oh,
which is crazy. Like all that happened was that they lost one game, right? But like that's how much it moved, right? So it was crazy. And Angel City FC, I think, won their final 11 matches. They were in last place.
Oh my God.
And they won their final 11 matches to make the playoffs. Absolute madness and chaos. And which is what I love. It was almost like a bunch of game 163s were all happening all at once. Like yeah, it was just really cool. Watch the NWSL. It's really fun.
Well, I heard that the New York, New Jersey, Gotham, is that it? That they made the playoffs?
Yes, they did. That's correct.
So the local team did make it. Our local
team
did make it.
Yes, New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC did make the playoffs. So I will be supporting them in the playoffs. So, yeah. I guess the other half of my walk-off win is that on Saturday, Michael and I went to Snallygaster, which is DC's biggest beer festival. And it rained the whole time, but we still had a great time. I'll make that part of the walk-off win short. I love beer festivals. Had a great time. It was awesome. Tasted a bunch of delicious beer. Can't go wrong there. Linda Cervich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
I don't know, because I've had COVID the past 2 weeks. And it was the first time I had it, and it was awful. I still won't have energy back. Like I can get up and do things, and then I get really, really tired. So thank you for making me angry, MLB, because I'm tired. But I guess that hockey's back.
That's a good walk-off win.
Yeah, the Rangers had their home opener and they won, which was good. But I mean, it's only been 3 games and my blood pressure's already up. They just drive me crazy. But for the most part, they have a new coach and they seem more structured with him. He's giving their younger players more time to like develop. Like when they make a mistake, he doesn't immediately punish them like their old coach did. So I feel like he's letting them, you know, breathe a little bit, and they don't have to be so scared about making a mistake all the time. So, you know, they've won 2 out of the first 3 games. They've looked okay so far. But like I said, I want the Rangers out, because when I see a tweet, I'm like, whoa, the Rangers don't look so good. I'm like, oh, I thought they played okay. And then I realize we're not talking about the same Rangers.
You know, it's the offseason, because all three of our walk-off wins were about other sports.
Yep, other sports. Although soccer's about to be over too, so I'm going to enter my like truly dark period.
The dark days.
Where I have to like care about the Knicks, I guess.
The Knicks, yeah.
Is it the winter meetings yet?
Yeah.
We're getting there, I think. My fantasy football team's in first place. I think that's good.
I got really amped about the Jets beating the Eagles, because I was like, at least the Philly fans will be humbled ever so slightly.
Although they had an issue today, because I think the Flyers were playing and the Phillies are playing, and it's all in the same complex, and you all have to go in the same way. And then when the Eagles and Phillies are playing, good luck. Good freaking luck. You'll be sitting on 95 for hours.
Take a SEPTA, I guess.
Yeah.
Although I learned when I went to the Beyonce concert, that was in Philly, and I learned that SEPTA is not equipped to handle crowds of that magnitude. So
no, SEPTA's not good.
Definitely not.
No.
Let me just
I caught up on reading. I finally read Killers of the Flower Moon.
There you go. In preparation for the film.
Good start.
Yes. I mean, the book it's very well written. It's just awful because of what happens in it.
Yes.
Like the content is awful. Like it's a good book, but it's just
a tough read.
Horrible. Yes. It's absolutely horrible. And I don't know how they're going to turn this into a movie, but it's also like, you kind of also think like, this is American history. Like this happened to the Native Americans. So, I mean, you do need to know it, but ugh. Yeah, it was a tough read, but it was good. But my one issue is the Leonardo DiCaprio was way too old to play the main character. Way too old.
He's way too old for the women he dates too, but it doesn't stop him.
That's true. Well,
so there we go. Yeah,
so I would suggest avoiding COVID at all costs, but if you do get it, there are ways to cope with it, like reading. And I watched Ghosts. I've been, I caught up on Abbott Elementary, which was also really good.
There you go. Love Abbott Elementary.
Yeah, so I finally finished Abbott Elementary, and then I moved on to Ghosts because I needed some lighthearted stuff. And one of the characters in Ghosts is a Mets fan.
Yeah, you always got to follow up. I always used to, whenever I was consuming like very bleak content, always used to alternate it with a comedy. Like
you do, yeah, you absolutely have to.
Like
do that.
When I watched the first season of Handmaid's Tale, I had to watch like The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt just to like for a little.
The mental break.
Yes.
Yeah. So I recommend Abbott Elementary and Ghosts if anybody needs some fluff in their life. Or some feel good. I should say feel good, not fluff. Yeah. Just like that little, you know, boost that we could all use from time to time.
Yeah. I think given everything that's going on right now, a good life motto is that we can't turn away from atrocities and pretend that they aren't happening, but we do need to be kind to ourselves.
Yes.
And not just doom scroll all day.
Yes. Yeah.
Correct.
Anyway, that does it for the show this week. You could go to homerunapplesauce.com to check out all of our fantastic pods. You can follow Homerun Applesauce on social media, Twitter and Instagram @HRApplesauce. You can support our work on Patreon by going to patreon.com/homerunapplesauce. You can get in contact with the show by email, aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. You can find this show on social media as well, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, and TikTok @apodoftheirown. You can follow each of us on Twitter and Blue Sky. I am @PetitePhD. Where are you, Linda?
@LindaServich.
And you, Maggie?
@Maggie162.
Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. And if you leave a review, it really helps people find the show as well. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there's no crying in